Open your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. We will be reading from verse 1 through verse 10 of 2 Corinthians. Did I say 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. We come to the end of a year, by and large, even though the New Year's Day is not until on Friday. This is the last Sunday morning that you'll, in this year, that you're going to have to listen to me. And I do want to challenge you this morning, because at the end of a year, we always, kind of creatures of time, we mark out time in segments, and every New Year's it reminds us that time has elapsed. Well, I'm persuaded that one day time will be no more. That angel stands with one foot on the land, the other on the sea, lifts his hand to heaven, and he swears time will be no more. There is accountability. That's where we're going to go with this. I entitled the message this morning, Appearing at the Judgment Seat. And that is, of course, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment and pray. We'll read these 10 verses and we'll bring the message that the Lord's given. Father, it's again my privilege to call on your name. Thank you for your grace. And I ask, Father, that you'll bless the word to every heart as we read it, enable folks to accept the message as it's given, and when it's all said and done, that there be one who is exalted and lifted up, and that's Jesus Christ. For I pray in his name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In the book of Romans, another place that you'll find the judgment seat of Christ mentioned, that again, there is an appearance, there is an accountability and a responsibility that we have. Just by way of introduction, I point out that this is a place for believers. Now, the unbeliever will not appear here at the judgment seat of Christ. The unbeliever has another appointment. As the Bible declares in the book of Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die, after death the judgment. That's a different place. John was careful to give us a description of that place in the book of Revelation as it unfolds. He spoke of a great white throne. and one who sat upon that throne, from whose face the heavens and the earth flee away. There was found no place for them, the Bible said. And John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand in that place. And books were opened. They were judged out of the things written in the books. They that were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, according to the word of God. And I believe it with all my heart this morning. So the unbeliever has another appointment. But from the vantage point of the believer, we shall all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. There's not going to be any absentees. There's not going to be any roll called and nobody answer, because we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This place is not a determination of salvation. Often misunderstood. Folks think that this judgment is going to be held so that people will know whether or not they're saved. And if you don't know you're saved right now, you're on precarious ground. You're in a dangerous place. I want you to know that you can know that you know you're saved. You can know that you've passed from death unto life. There is a special witness that God has given to the saints, and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In the text that we've read, we have the earnest of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has many offices that He holds, and He certainly witnesses to us of our salvation, but He also guarantees our deliverance. That's the earnest. God has guaranteed us something, but we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not a determination of salvation. And this place, the judgment seat of Christ, is an assessment of reward. So we see there are some things about the judgment seat of Christ that we need to understand today. And I want to not try to be profound or anything different than what we need. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. And I remind you that we're going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. But the first major heading I want to deal with in the message this morning is that of the judgment seat itself. There are some things about it that I do want to make you aware of. First of all, it belongs to Christ. That's sometimes forgotten. But it does belong to Christ. It's not our judgment seat. We very well make poor judges. You realize that if you take the position of a judge, that you've displaced God and said, I'm the head of this thing. I know how to run it. I know how to take care of it. And I just about as soon not have that responsibility upon me. So I'll leave that in the hands of God. But I want you to know that this judgment seat here is one that belongs to Jesus Christ. And He's going to bring the saints before it. In Romans chapter 14, we are not to judge our brethren. And that's the thing that leads up to the judgment seat of Christ in verse 10 of Romans chapter 14 that I've already mentioned in regard to the thought itself, that we're not to pass judgment on our brothers. We'll leave that in the hands of God. There comes times that we have certain responsibilities that we must act upon, and it will involve an assessment and evaluation on our part. But when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, certainly then we must understand that this belongs to Jesus Christ, and that brother that we might in some fashion or other decide that we need to pass judgment on, I want you to know that they along with us must appear here at this judgment seat. Second thing I want us to see under the subject of the judgment seat itself is that this pertains to life on earth. It pertains to life on earth. We'll notice in our text that it deals with the things that are done in the body. This body takes on a different aspect in the resurrection. Thank God that it does. We that have known the frailty of the passing of time here will no longer know that in the body, in heaven itself. We'll have, the truth of the matter is, a glorified body. Fashioned like unto that of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that there's a great host of folks here today that can say amen to that. That these bodies, as they know the passing of time and the frailty that is associated with that, are looking forward to the day that that body is glorified. It's either it'll be raised from the dead or it'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. But this judgment seat pertains to this life. It's the things that are done in the body. Now, I remind you that you have been bought with a price. Our Lord Jesus Christ paid the price in full. Not in part, but the whole. He paid it all. And He bought us. Whether we like that thought or that term or not, we're bought with a price. I couldn't ask for a better master than Jesus Christ. I could not ask for a better one to serve than Jesus Christ. So I'm not too troubled with the thought that He bought me. But in buying me, He has a right to expect some things. He tells the Corinthians in the first epistle, therefore, because you are bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to Him. And this body belongs to Jesus Christ. In the context that we find over in 1 Corinthians, it is rather the abuse of the body and the using of the body to satisfy our own desires and fleshly lusts. And we're told that this body is bought with a price to bring glory to Jesus Christ. So we're dealing at the judgment seat of Christ with the things that are done in the body. Whether they're good or whether they're bad. Well, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? That all comes before Him and comes out at the judgment seat. The evaluation, the assessment of reward. But we're told in this particular text that we appear here, and it's according to the things done in the body, and then He said whether they're good or whether they're bad. What kind they are, it makes no difference. You're going to be in accounting. For the conduct in our bodies and the labor that we put forth in our bodies here on earth. Let me just digress a moment and point out to you that for whatever reason God's chosen to use us. I count it a great privilege that God would choose to use me. And I trust that you rejoice that God has chosen to use you. And what God's doing primarily here on earth, He's going to do through the bodies of His saints. I realize that the Spirit of God is not bound by any kind of a limitation. He moves sovereignly. Our Lord taught Nicodemus this in John chapter 3. The Spirit goes where it lists us, or just as the wind goes where He wants to. But God, in His own infinite plan, has chosen to use us who are His saints. So if God's going to speak to somebody, He's going to use a human voice. If He's going to express a benevolence to somebody, it'll come through a human hand. If we're to go with a message, it's likely going to be carried by human feet, with just very few exceptions. And that exception that I find where there's an angel that flies through the midst of heaven and preaches, that's the last scene, basically, on earth, as the everlasting gospel is just sounded from the heavens by the angel. But by and large, we're dealing with things done in this body, and we're going to give an account of life as it's lived. Things done in the body, and then we're told according to that, that's done. According to that, that's done. In other words, there has been a performance, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We're going to give an account of that. You realize today, if we know to do good and leave it undone, it's sin. James is pretty careful about making that known to us, that we that are the children of God, when we know what we ought to do and we don't do it, then it's nothing but sin. Now, this scene at the judgment seat of Christ involves the quality of work according as He has done. You know that, and let me just go ahead and mention this, and if we have time, we'll develop it maybe a little farther in a moment. But there's going to be a test of our works, and it's going to be by fire. And I'll tell you what, I'm grateful that some of the works are going to be burned up. That's mercy to the saints of God today, that we don't have to carry some things all the way into eternity and deal with them there. They'll be left behind. But things done in the body. But it does involve the quality of the work. What kind of works have we performed? What have we really done as far as something that would glorify Jesus Christ? And it then also does involve the quantity of the works. Quality and quantity are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That means that we need to take advantage of every opportunity that is afforded us with the best that we have. I would hate to have to stand before the Lord and give an account of a half-hearted message. We need to put all that there is in it, every opportunity that we have, the quality of it, and then not miss any opportunities. There seems to be, and thank the Lord that there is, when a young man surrenders to preach, God somehow or another gives him just a desire to want to preach. Even though he do a poor job, and thank God for the men that encouraged me as a young man, that invested in me as a young man, and instilled some things in me that I have not forgotten to this good day. That lady came by one time and wanted to interview the preacher here. I don't know why, but it did come out in the paper, so it was a plug for our church. But she asked basically some question about motivation. And I had to go back in my mind to one of the classroom scenes of my Bible college days. Old Dr. Luther Pete came into that class, and with determined intensity, he said, "If you'll build a fire in the pulpit, somebody will come watch it burn." And I've tried not to ever forget that. Another one of my professors said, I never want to hear it said of you that you said, I've got to go home and dig up something. He said, you go to the throne of grace, you get something to preach to the folks. Do you see that the quality of the opportunity and the works, as well as the quantity? But these young preachers, whenever God calls them, they seem to be given just a desire, a driven desire to preach. And I'm thankful for that. And I hope that they'll never lose sight of that dealing in their life by the Spirit of God. I call to mind this morning the testimony of an old preacher. Whenever I never really got to really meet him personally, but I got to witness him get up out of the pews, walking cane in each hand. He hobbled his way to the pulpit. But as he stood there in that service, he began to talk about how that he was out on the farm following the mule with an old Georgia stock plow. When God began to speak to his heart, just as a young Christian, hadn't been saved long, God called him to preach. And you know, the sad thing was that as I watched the faces of the crowd, it just went over them. They didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Holy Spirit conviction and a call of God and a desire to preach. There will be the element of the quantity that we're allowed to preach. We're called, honestly, for a lifetime. I read a letter the other day of another preacher that's come to the place of retirement. I may have to quit someday because of senility. I may have to quit because of some physical infirmity, but I'm not going to stop preaching just because it's a certain age. Besides, I'm already past that age where you're supposed to retire. So just stay with it. But I'm talking about the quantity. There are going to be some things at the judgment seat. It pertains to this life. Now again, I emphasize to you that the unbeliever finds no place here. Again, there's the great white throne for the unbelievers. And you must believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. Folks, I'm being as honest as I can with you this morning that there is no other way of salvation. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the truth this morning. It involves repentance and faith to be saved. Our Lord said that he'd leave a message with his church. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message today, repentance. And it involves in this matter of preaching and salvation and faith placed in Jesus Christ to bring us out of our darkness into the light. The unbeliever before the judgment of the great white throne is already condemned. It's not a place of determination there. The issue must be settled here on planet Earth. But we as believers, this judgment seat of Christ pertains to the things done in the body here on Earth. The good, the bad are brought out here. The good works, all believers' works, will be tried by fire. I mentioned that. As it's recorded over in the first epistle to the Corinthians. Paul carefully instructed that church that there was one foundation. That's Jesus Christ. Nothing else to build on. Anything that's built on anything but Jesus Christ, it's an organization and it'll crumble with the passing of time and be diminished and destroyed ultimately. But even as believers, there are going to be some trials upon our works. Now, we're told that we have the opportunity in this life to build wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. And only that that'll abide the fire. Well, it's evident that wood, hay, and stubble will not abide the fire. Truth is, I've seen them all afire. But gold and silver, precious stones, they seem to have the ability to abide the fire. Some will abide the fire, and there is the opportunity of reward that is there. And they will produce reward. The good works, the bad works will be consumed by the fire, but there is no reward. There's no lingering works that are left behind after that fiery trial. Only ashes remain, and thank God for that. But whatever it is in life that you've done since the time you were saved by the grace of God, whether it's good, whether it's bad, you stand accountable to God. The final thought this morning, there is no avoiding this judgment. I've noticed that a lot of things that you get involved in life, that there seems to be elections, and you'll get a letter that said you can attend or send a proxy, which means that you can get somebody else to vote for you if you don't want to vote. But I want you to know there'll be no proxies at the judgment seat of Christ. You can't send somebody else. You're going to be there yourself. There's no avoiding this judgment. There will be full accounting. It's amazing how much somebody can talk and how little they'll say sometimes. But many folks today, and I notice it a lot in the political realm, that they do a lot of avoiding. They talk a lot, say a lot of words, but there's not much substance in it. Can I just be mean this morning for a moment? In this past election, both candidates stood on a platform and said, I can fix it. I can fix it. I can fix it. But nobody ever said how they'd fix it. So we're in a fix. They talked a lot, but didn't say anything. But do you realize that the judgment seat of Christ, it'll not just be rhetoric. The facts are going to be brought out. They're going to be presented in such a fashion that's discernible and understandable what we're there for. Just an admonition. Make preparation before. Recognize you are bought with a price. Recognize you are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Dedicate yourself to Him. I drew just a brief conclusion, and you can say amen if you want to. We're getting down to the conclusion. Unavoidable. Are you ready? The judgment seat of Christ. Unavoidable. Unavoidable. Are you ready? Let's stand together. Musicians, make your way to the front. The rest, if you will, bow with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the time that is allotted to us to preach here today, and I trust your will be done in hearts and lives as we extend the invitation which we believe to be your invitation. And we understand there is a judgment seat of Christ, and we must all appear. Unsaved folks, Father, will appear in another place, and I pray for them in this invitation, that if somebody's here and they're not sure they're saved, may this be the time, that appointed time, when they would bow their knee, they yield their heart, and they would call upon the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. For I pray in that name.